We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ and HD1 San Francisco. It was a good night for the Warriors, who snapped a home losing streak, have now won a couple of games in a row. They handled their business this weekend. It was a business trip to Sacramento. They won that business trip, got very somber for a moment with a looked to be very serious backboard, a back spine injury, where they carried Patrick McCaw off the court on a mobilized backboard, immobilized. He was totally immobilized to not move. You don't see that very often in an NBA game. It was a scary moment. He looked like he was undercut a little by Vince Carter, whether he meant it, didn't mean it. Here's the good thing. It really doesn't matter, because there was something that was said in that game that I thought that Steve Kerr, if McCaw had been really hurt, Steve Kerr is a nice enough guy to have regretted this.
I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at Vince. He knows better.
Screaming, Vince knows better. And he's right about that. He's right about that. Vince knows to clear out and get out from underneath any leaping player. He is one of the preeminent leapers in this league's history. He never wanted a guy underneath him when he tried to land. He knows not to be there, yet he was there. Patrick McCaw went down hard. I really, really thought that a catastrophic injury had occurred. The rest of that game was purely going through the motions for both teams. There was a lot of concern for McCaw. The Warriors, businesslike, came home with a win. No time to get in your own feelings or emotions, and the fact that the announcement that Patrick McCaw's MRI, his CAT scan, all scans, every scan, everything came back positive.
It did, but thank goodness.
No broken vertebrae, no broken back. They say he has a lower contusion in his lumbar area, which doesn't sound comfortable, but is a lot better than what was originally feared, the worst of just terrible injuries. I didn't think Patrick McCaw was ever going to walk again. He was screaming, "I can't feel my legs." Obviously, the feeling to his extremities returned. But when he was getting carried off the court, there was no thumbs up. There was no okay hand sign. It was motionless, and it was scary. Warriors come back the very next night. Got to turn it around quickly because the Suns came to town. And what do you know? They came out in typical Warrior fashion, little lackadaisical, and then all of a sudden, the third quarter happened. Klay Thompson being back, that's a good thing.
Draymond Green, backdoor bounce, Klay Thompson again, he flies in for a dunk. Klay Thompson with a slam.
Klay Thompson to the rim. Klay Thompson from way downtown.
Draymond outlet to Klay Thompson down the right side, dialing long distance. It's heard. It's good. 71-67. Klay Thompson with another triple. He's got 18 points.
Draymond Green got in on the three-pointer run in the third.
Cook waiting. The trailer's Draymond. A jump stop into a three for Draymond Green. His third of the night. The Suns with another timeout. And the Warriors lead 85-71.
And when things got a little bit too close for comfort in that fourth quarter, Kevin Durant, who finished the night with 29, 11, and 8, stuck this one. It was big.
Cook in traffic, in trouble, backed it out, throws to Draymond. Shot clock at 2 with 1. Durant catches, launches, and hits a 3 from about 30 feet away. Ridiculous.
And afterwards, Steve Kerr would encapsulate what we already know about Kevin Durant.
No, I mean, Kevin is, he's going to be Kevin no matter what. I mean, the thing with him is he's got as much ability as anybody. pretty much anybody ever in the history of the game. I mean, this guy is so talented that you put him out there with Steph, great. You put him out there without Steph, great. I mean, he's still going to get any shot he wants and dominate a game. He almost had a triple-double tonight, and he's just he's a really gifted player, and he can adapt to anything that he sees.
He can do whatever he wants. Whatever he can get on the court, he can usually get it for himself. And Durant afterwards was talking about how this team still plays versatile basketball. How do you want to lose? And I like that attitude by the Warriors, by the way. It's been a long season. We haven't seen much of it. But how would you like to lose? Would you like to get beaten in the half-court set? Would you like to go ahead and get run off the court? Kevin Durant says they can give it to you both ways.
Each game is different, you know, especially, you know, we got guys just, you know, Andre's out, Steph's out, guys stepping up in different roles, you know, Quinn playing the point guard, just leading us. We're going to have to play different ways, and I think that's the beauty of our team, that we can play different styles. And, you know, we can slow it down, throw it in the post to D-West, myself, Sean, Draymond, or we can play fast pace with Clay, Nick, you know, Quinn, myself as well. So, you know, each game is called for a different style, and, you know, that's when you have a deep team with a smart coaching staff that knows how to kind of make adjustments.
You want to talk about depth that keeps on giving. The Warriors' depth now has to absolutely include their G League Santa Cruz affiliate because Quinn Cook has been phenomenal. He's really been a godsend for this team. I don't know what kind of situation the Warriors would be in without Quinn Cook right now. He has really rode into town to save their bacon. No doubt in my mind, he's going to be on this playoff roster. And look at the kismet that he has with Kevin Durant.
They've got a great connection, and Quinn is a really good player to play off of Kevin because of the way he shoots the ball and his decision making. And as you said, they're close friends, so they enjoy the playing time together, and I think it shows.
Most importantly, the coolest dude in the room, no matter who's in the room, no matter where the room is, Klay Thompson, shooting and scoring well. He had 23 points with his hand still in a wrap, but no problem.
Feels good. The key was just, you know, staying in shape while I was out eight games. And it's hard because, you know, it's so fun to do it with the basketball, but when you're working out with that one, it's not that fun. But, you know, I had an angle in sight, and I was to come out, you know, not miss a beat.
So, not missing a beat. How about not missing a game the rest of the way? The Warriors have five left.
I expect to play. I mean, missed enough games this year, and you know, I just want to keep a good rhythm. I do that by playing every night.
Klay Thompson, he wants to play every night. Good. Warriors got five games left, four of them on the road starting tomorrow in Oklahoma City. Thursday, they'll be at the Pacers. Saturday, they're home against the Pelicans. Final home date of the year at Oracle in the regular season. Next Saturday, they're at Phoenix. And a week from tomorrow is the final game of the regular season. Next Tuesday, they're at Utah. And that's going to be it. That's going to be it. And I can't even tell you how bad this team needs to take that next step. And they haven't, they've been asked to do it a lot of different times. They haven't really done it. The question now becomes mandatory. There is no, we're getting ready for the playoffs. Once the playoffs begin, that's the playoffs. You better be ready. So hopefully this team can sharpen the stick as much as possible in its last five games. Curry, who knows when he's going to be back? Everyone says he's not going to return in the first round. That's fine. I heard Greg earlier say, Warriors aren't in this to win one round of this basketball playoff. They're in to win round four. First round, super duper. Second round, better win that too. Third round is called the Western Conference Finals. Damn well better win that one and then get yourself back into another NBA final where you can be repeating as champions. And we have said time and time again, when it comes to NBA dynasties, back-to-back has to be part of the equation at one point. Would it be very impressive to win six in a row, or, well, six finals, but never once in back-to-back years?
Yeah.
You know, they won six finals, took them 12 years to do it. Like, sounds really impressive. I think most fan bases would take 6 out of 12 without a doubt. But still, back-to-back is special. We all know that the real true measurement of dynastic NBA excellence is that three-peat.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time you say it, you owe Patrick Riley a nickel. You know, he copyrighted
yeah.
three-peat.
So with five games left, now's the time. I'm ready to see it. Let's do this.
Here it is. It's like imagine the NBA season is a 82 long game or 82 car train that's going past you. 82 cars. You got to walk to the back of the train. It just takes you forever to get to the caboose. You can finally see the caboose. It's almost here. It felt like half this season got stuck in the bar car.
Oh, definitely.
It's where you go to treat injuries. Damon, would you call the Spurs a dynasty? They've never won back-to-back titles. I tell you, that's the hole that I would poke in what is a dynasty. Like, I respect what the Spurs did. There's no doubt about it. They're going to be the least discussed great basketball team of all time. San Antonio went about winning its titles with very little attention or fanfare or flair. And the fact that they never went back-to-back meant no matter how kind you were treating them one year, by the next year, you were giving someone else the accolades. You needed at least a couple years in a row, I really think. So if you wanted to say what's the weak spot in the Spurs dynasty, it's that they never won back-to-back. The Warriors got to win back-to-back here. Kevin Durant was not signed to not win back-to-back titles. That's why the whole Hamptons 5 bridge tournament happened with Dame Judi Dench and Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
Really, sounds like something that would be on the movie channel. The movie channel will be presenting the Hamptons 5. Dame Judi Dench reviving her performance as Mildred, the Mahjong player. Never got into that nickname. 888-957-9570. About 45 minutes away from qualifying another listener. Someone who has signed up to be a registered listener at 957thegame.com. We are going to get to another name at 5 o'clock, and that person is going to have 9 minutes and 57 seconds to become a finalist for the golden ticket. We will let you know when that is coming up. It is good to be here. We got baseball to talk about. We're going to do it a little bit later on this hour with John Morosi and a late addition to the program, Giants general manager Bobby Evans. Scheduled now to appear at 5:30. We're going to be talking a little Warriors basketball with Tim Roy at 6 o'clock, and then A's baseball. Uncle Townie and the Dugout Show will be up for you at 6:15 tonight here at 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Thanks so much for stopping on by. I hope you plan on doing it for at least another 3 years. Big show announcement today, a new 3-year extension for your friendly neighborhood host. I'm thrilled to know that this station is going to be the home of the Damon Bruce Show for not just the foreseeable future, but what I really hope is for all time. I mean, I was telling all involved that this isn't about a 3-year deal. This is about a 30-year run. We're home, baby.
Go big.
We're home.
I like it.
Mama, we're home. And thank you for making this my home. I couldn't call this my home if you didn't listen on your way home. It means a lot to have you out there in the audience. I don't tell you thank you enough because, well, I'm just not that nice of a guy.
But you do appreciate it. Like, for example, we're out and about the A's game. Last week on the home opener, it was so nice for fans to come up and say hello. And
oh, it made me blush.
It does. You're just like, oh my gosh, someone's really listening and enjoying the show. Thank you so much. So, yes.
Very flattering.
Ton of appreciation.
Really is. Let me tell you what's even better than an in-person moment that's a appreciation. A binding 3-year contract, which means they got to pay me. That's also nice to have, too. So, the appreciation is great. The new security is fantastic. Will this mean a calmer, more gentler Damon Bruce? Probably not.
God, I hope not.
That never lasts. It really never lasts.
I like my Damon Bruce a little crazy.
Well, good.
And high strung.
There's one thing I got to tell you about that I watched this weekend that I thought was phenomenal. HBO's The Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling. I'm a huge Gary Shandling fan. I was heartbroken when he passed away. Loved the original Gary Shandling show.
Yeah.
Loved the Larry Sanders show on HBO to the point where it's one of the greatest shows HBO has ever had. I got it above Curb Your Enthusiasm in terms of all-time great HBO comedies. And it was genius. It was so far ahead of its time. And Gary Shandling was this tortured soul. What's really cool is how he talked about getting going. He was a student at the University of Arizona. And George Carlin was playing at a comedy club a couple hours away. He drove up to go see George Carlin. Saw George Carlin waiting before the show at the bar, handed him a manila envelope worth of material, and said, could you read this tonight? And I'll come back and talk to you about it tomorrow.
Wow.
George Carlin said, okay, I'll do that for you.
That's very cool.
Came back tomorrow and he said, kid, you're green. There's no doubt about it. You got a lot to learn. But there's something funny on every page that you handed me. And if you want to do this, you should. And isn't that cool to hear George Carlin tell you that you might be a little bit funny and it inspires you to do it? He was still tortured, though, his whole life. Like he could never really find happiness, and his brother died when he was a kid, and his parents treated him weird about the whole thing. Like he wasn't even allowed. Like there's a lot of deep-seated psychological pain in this guy that comes out in this love letter that Judd Apatow wrote about his deceased friend Gary Shandling.
I don't know much about Gary Shandling. I've seen a couple things where he's obviously incredibly funny, but to have the guts to go up to a well-known comedian, here's my stuff, give it a shot. That shows you have a great deal of desire and drive to make it.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I'm impressed.
Yeah, it's really phenomenal television. If you were ever a fan of the guy, I highly suggest you watch it. It's something that I could talk about the way that I talk about a Warrior game or talk about a Giants game or talk about a football game. Like, it was that good. It was that compelling.
Okay, now I have to watch it.
And it's amazing how we are all pinned under the things that you'd think, well, that person must be thrilled at all times. And at his actual funeral, Kevin Nealon, former Saturday Night Live cast member, Kevin Nealon, who was a good friend, said, you know, something was, so whenever you asked Gary how he was doing, he said one of five things. And that either meant it was his relationship, his show, his home, his trying to get Zen, or his lawsuit that he was working on. Like, it was always one of those five things. That's all he ever thought about. And they talked about this home that he had built for himself that overlooked the Pacific Ocean, but he constantly had contractors coming on by trying to do all sorts of little details to get more light in it. And Kevin Nealon was like, Gary lived in a mansion high on a hill that became his albatross. And it was just funny to talk about how, you know, what really looks like easy street for one person,
right,
it ends up weighing on you. And the whole thing just makes you think about how nuts show business is.
It is. Well, you never know what they're going through behind closed doors.
Not that we get to have the kind of life that makes you worry about your mansion overlooking the Pacific Ocean.
I don't have one of those. Do you have one of those?
I do not have one of those.
I do live close to the ocean, though.
You do. But it's just one of those shows that demonstrates how tough the world of show business really is. And not that we do it on that level in any way, shape, or form. But technically, we are in show business just a little bit. And the fact that it works is just a humbling thing. And I cannot thank you enough for making this work for me, for us, for Gianna and I, for Albie, for Elena. This is how we make a living. And if it's not doing well, as far as you're concerned, we're not asked back, and we're thrilled to announce that we'll be here for at least, what did we say? It was 2021?
2021, right?
You got me through at least 2021.
Wow.
And we're, you know what I like about this show is that we don't lean on a whole bunch of gimmicks. By the way, don't forget a Tuesday trifecta coming up, and we're also going to have a taking it to the tweet segment before it's all said and done here this week. But we don't have a lot of gimmicks. We don't have a lot of things where I'm like, oh, we do that. No one else should be allowed to do that. If we have that bit, no one else can do that bit. LeBron James doesn't see the world through my lens. LeBron James has copyright issues with the Alabama Crimson Tide. Oh, my. This is a battle of big Twitter egos. What is going on? Not a lot of humility.
No.
Between LeBron or the Alabama Crimson Tide. So, last week, the official Twitter account for Alabama football released a trailer called Shop Talk, where Nick Saban and other famous Alabama alumni in this episode, the debut episode, it was Julio Jones, talk about playing football at Alabama in a barbershop while a guy's getting his edges done. LeBron James, on his multimedia platform, Uninterrupted, has previously released two installments of a web series called The Shop. He's filmed a third, starring the Cavs' friends, business associates, sports and pop culture figures, having free-flowing conversations while getting haircuts. And LeBron James wants to, like, cease and desist and say that he's got the only right to have a show that takes place in a barbershop?
Apparently.
Has the cast of Barbershop sued LeBron James for infringement on their original idea?
I'm waiting for that article to come out.
That's, I mean, come on. Intellectual property cannot go all the way to the location in which I film a conversation.
He's pushing this one for sure.
Big time.
Yeah. I think people are allowed to have conversations. I mean, when I get my hair done, I have tons of conversations with the people around me. My hairdresser. I'm sure that happens everywhere across the country.
The beauty shop with Gianna Franco?
Yes, the beauty shop. So
that'd be a spicy.
It gets spicy.
Spicy podcast.
It gets spicy. But it happens everywhere. You're allowed to film it.
I mean, come on. Next thing you know, LeBron James is going to be suing anyone who's having a recorded conversation with hair.
That's next.
But the whole, we have the unimpeachable right to broadcast from a barbershop and show you that conversation, but you cannot be a barbershop station or broadcast. It's just like, come on. The letter goes on to invite a conversation with Alabama before rushing into legal proceedings. I think if I'm Alabama, I assign this to a group of sophomore law students and say, hey, go beat LeBron James in court. I don't think you can infringe on the idea of, now we're going to have an interview show in a restaurant. We're going to have an interview show in a bar. We're going to have an interview at a picnic table.
Yeah,
we're going to have an interview in a locker room.
Right. It's been done a million times.
You know what was also been done a million times? A new launched morning show on ESPN today. Mike Golic, Michelle Beadle, Jalen Rose, and some other guy began their voyage. Get up! Get up on ESPN!
You watched the whole thing?
I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched about 15 minutes, and that was enough.
Really?
That thing, it suffers from a huge case of way too cute.
So is it just needs to work the kinks out? It's getting started. They got to find their groove kind of bad. Or is it just dead on arrival bad?
I'm going to say this. I'm glad no one's ever judged me on the first show that I ever hosted. So it's probably unfair to judge them on the first show. But they also have a multi-million dollar budget. And a lot of people who've been in the industry as long, if not longer than the both of us, thinking about it. How are we going to launch this thing? And they decided, hey, for a launch, we're going to go super corny. To the point where we've got the three of them dressed as, like, superheroes.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Really, really corny. I don't understand how ESPN has so lost its way. How they just don't understand what we were there for in the first place. It wasn't for cute vignettes. It wasn't for overly produced, borderline Hollywood-quality teaser promos. You don't have to tease or promote the show that I'm watching to me as I'm watching it. Get to it. Sports, go. One, two, three, go. Make sports happen. Make sports talk happen.
They need to bring it back to basics a little bit. I think they've lost their way. And I know you have to kind of change and evolve with the times and all the different ways we consume media now, which ESPN is trying to do. But you still have to have, you got to remember where you came from and what you were good at and why you're there.
Gianna, they either have the four hosts sitting at a desk, or they have whatever subject that they're talking about and a video playing while the four hosts sit in their own four little boxes, talking over each other, reading not their own original thoughts, but produced for them
bullet
notes.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, 15 million alone on talent.
That's crazy. Maybe we should send a tape.
We should totally send a tape. 15 million on talent alone. By the way, that's what we paid John Morosi to join us here on 95.7 The Game. John Morosi, MLB Network, Fox Sports Baseball Analyst, good enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. John, let's just start with this. Happy New Year, buddy. Good to see baseball back.
It is, and Happy New Year to you as well. And certainly, I love this time of year because you've got the culmination of the NCAA tournament. Of course, Michigan playing tonight. That's so very exciting here in my great home state. But the start of a new baseball season is always my favorite time of year.
And then right around the corner, we'll see in Butler Cabin, buddy, the Masters on CBS. It really is.
You know what? I have never been to a major golf tournament. I'll be honest, I am not a huge golf guy, but I would love to see the Masters once in my life.
Oh, me too. Absolutely. I want to be part of the patrons because it's way too classy to have a gallery at Augusta. John, let's talk about all the patrons who went down to Dodger Stadium to see a very interesting opening set between the Giants and Dodgers. The Giants scored two grand total of runs in the series, yet they split the series two apiece. Their bullpen looked good. Their new old veterans in the lineup did not do a lot in the opening series. But since the name of the game is just treading water until Bumgarner is back, I guess a 500 split is not a bad way to start the year.
Agree. And I think all things considered, when you think back to the way things began last year for the Giants and the rough tone setter they had there to begin that season in Phoenix with the blown save in game one, Ty Block's masterpiece was a nice counterbalance to that. So I like what I saw, certainly from Ty Block. And I think overall, yes, it was a rough weekend for McCutchen and Longoria, but these are veteran hitters who I believe are going to hit this year. And so I think if you look at it in its totality, it was a solid start to the season for the Giants. Not spectacular, but solid enough. And I guess I will add that the lingering concern about Melanson is somewhat alarming. I was told he still is in a no-throw situation as of today, so there's no real update on when he can actually get back on a mound and throw at full speed. If he was having problems the last couple weeks every time he really tried to extend himself and certainly pitch on back-to-back days and even just have full effort, that's concerning. So I think for the time being, they've got to find a way to hang in this very competitive race without Bumgarner, without Melanson, and they have to hope that Samardzija is back in a matter of a few weeks.
I tell you what, Melanson, he can stay away as long as Hunter Strickland looks like this. His slider was dancing. He was hitting his spots. He looked really good as the team's closer in the first couple looks at him.
The new and improved Hunter Strickland. I think the overall, his body language, I thought, was much improved. The action on his pitches was much improved. He looked like a major league closer. And I know it's sort of a subjective statement, but he looked like he was totally in command of what he was doing. One-run game, Dodger Stadium season opener, no problem. And I think that we saw in the past his emotions maybe got the better of him in some moments. We know, of course, what happened with Harper, both with the home runs and then what happened last year. But it was, I think for him, we're seeing a much more composed Hunter Strickland with still a lot of the great stuff. And as you point out, a much sharper slider. So if the answer is that Strickland's got to be the closer for the time being, I think the Giants have to feel very comfortable there, of course, knowing they've also got Sam Dyson back there and the overall the lefties, I thought, were good in spring training with Osich in particular. So it's a much deeper Giants pen than we saw last year, and I think that has to be a huge source of confidence for the team and their fans.
John Morosi, talking a little baseball with him here on the Damon Bruce Show. I'll tell you, if Johnny Cueto is going to pitch like that, it's going to make the getting through Madison Bumgarner's recovery a lot easier to handle. I know that they've got a four-man rotation situation right now. Who that fifth person becomes when they need it, we'll see. But that was Cueto from 2 years ago.
It really was, and near perfect, obviously, for a period of time in that start. It was very encouraging to see. I think they're going to need, to your point, Damon, and it's a very good point, that they're able to manage this time of year with the calendar and all the off days and different ways you can manipulate things in April. They're able to get by, I think, for a period of time with only four starters and maybe keep kicking the can down the road a little bit longer before they really have to have the five starters rolling forward every single day. But I was encouraged by Cueto, and candidly, as long as Samardzija and Bumgarner are out, which is at least going to be the case for the next couple weeks, they really need Cueto. They really need him. As great as Block was in the opener, they need Cueto to be Cueto. Because at some point, as you're talking about it, and you're understanding that probably when you mix in a fifth starter on a routine basis, they're not going to be going seven or eight innings routinely. So they're going to have someone going out there to do those seven or eight innings, or even nine in some cases, to save the bullpen and create a good tempo and rhythm for the rotation. For now, it has to be Johnny Cueto doing that, and I think his first start was a very good sign that he still is capable of doing so.
John Morosi, MLB Network and Fox Sports. A's dropped 3 of 4 to the Angels at home. Their pitching let them down in the bullpen. It let them down from a starting standpoint. Their offense, it comes and it goes. They're young. I still don't know what to make of this A's year. It could go one of two different directions. I think they're going to be okay. I really do. But, man, when Shohei Ohtani is in town, you better have extra room in the press box. I haven't seen Japanese media descend on a major league ballpark like this since the first go-around of Ichiro. It was overwhelming.
And it's great. It's great for the game. I think it's great for us to find out collectively, and certainly whether you're a fan in North America or Japan, anywhere around the world, if Shohei Ohtani can do it. And by it, I mean hit and pitch and at a high level at the major leagues. And I think we got the answer, half of the answer, on Sunday. He can certainly pitch in the major leagues. We know that now. I think the hitting standpoint, we'll have to wait and see how that goes over a longer period of time. But I think there's now no question the moment was not too big for him. The stage was not too big for him. He is comfortable on the mound in the major leagues. Now, offensively is maybe a separate conversation. But I was encouraged by what I saw. I think the action on the pitches was there. Body language, again, was very good. He was touching upper 90s, 100 miles an hour. I mean, this was the A stuff. This is why we were talking so much about him all winter long, and even previous winters, about what he was going to be when he came here. This is the man we were waiting for, and he delivered in a big way for the Angels. That was a huge confidence booster for that team to win that first series of the year. And as you point out on the A's, I think, Damon, the pitching is just going to be a little bit short right now. I don't see, especially with the tough news on Puck, tough news on Cotton, it is just difficult for me to look at that team and say that they're going to be able to pitch consistently good enough to beat the Astros or other teams in this division. Now, you may say that the rest of the clubs don't have quite a dominant rotation like Houston does either among the other clubs in the division. I think you're right about that, but I think that probably it's the Angels and the Mariners that are maybe just a tick better than Oakland in terms of the rotation depth. But I do love this, Damon. This is a consistent, everyday club. I was looking at just the way that Bob Melvin was running his lineups out there the first few games. It was Luke Kroy behind the plate with one exception. Olsen at first, Lowry at second, Chapman at third, Semien at short. For the most part, Joyce or Davis, left field DH, Powell at center, Piscotty in right. They've got a group. They've got a chance to build a real identity for their club, which I like, as opposed to having a whole bunch of switches and platoons. I think we've got a pretty good starting nine there for Oakland, and we'll see how it goes.
You never hear anybody honeymooning in Philadelphia, because honeymoons don't last long in Philadelphia, and Gabe Kapler's certainly didn't. Take a lot of criticism over the weekend, and rightfully so, for the way he managed his opening series, where he just made bullpen mistake after bullpen mistake, used too many guys, including a position player. That was not a good debut.
No, and I think you look at the way that the bullpen was utilized, and it even goes back to the opener, the game in which Aaron Nola appeared to be cruising and was I think, removed far too early, given the fact that he was is the caliber of his pitching. He was 5 1/3. He had only thrown 68 pitches when Nolan was when Aaron Nola was taken out of that opening game. So it really set the tone. So many pitching changes. There was the delay and the stall that then resulted in the Braves manager Brian Snitker being ejected over the weekend. So things got testy there, and I think you're right in that while Gabe Kapler, I think, is very adept at understanding the process, I think there's a lot he brings to the table in a very positive way. And having never managed a major league game, Damon, I can only tell you what I've been told by many, many people, which is the game is fast. It speeds up on you, and sometimes it can be a challenge to think two or three moves ahead when you've never managed games before consistently. And I think that's with minus one minor league season for Gabe Kapler, part of the problem. So I think he'll get there eventually. I do. But for now, it's been a pretty turbulent first few days for him in that managerial seat.
Yeah, you might want to warm up guys in the bullpen before you bring him in. Just a little tip from us to Gabe Kapler. Yeah, usually a good, strong idea indeed. It is always good to talk to you, John. I want to wish you personally very good luck tonight. I know you're a big Michigan backer. You are a Wolverine in your heart, if not actually on a piece of parchment hanging somewhere in your office, I'm guessing. I know you got love for Michigan. They're up against it against Villanova tonight, but they've got a 14-game winning streak. I like a Big Ten team with their back against the wall. Go Big Blue.
I appreciate it, Damon. I'm confident too. You know, 5 years ago, against Louisville, I wasn't all that confident that they were going to win that game. Tonight, oddly, I feel like it's going to be a Michigan win. I've got Michigan 80, Villanova 78. It's going to be a hard-fought game. I've got visions of 1989 or Ramil Robinson at the line hitting those shots at the Kingdome. So we'll see it one more time here all these years later.
There you go. He's going with Michigan. He is John Morosi here on 95.7 The Game. Thanks, buddy. Good to talk to you.
My pleasure. Happy New Year to you as well, Damon. Thanks so much.
Thank you very, very much. Yes, Happy New Year all around. A new year tomorrow at AT&T Park as the Giants are going to be enjoying their home opener. I know Gianna and I, we're both going down. We're going to check that out for a little while. Then I got to walk back here at some point because we're going to have Warriors warm-up. They're on the road at Oklahoma City tomorrow, and we're going to be talking about that throughout the show today. Bobby Evans at 5:30. Tim Roy comes up at 6 o'clock. And in 20 minutes from right now, we are going to be qualifying yet another listener for the Golden Ticket Contest only on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
To have you along today. A little bit of an announcement about the show. I hope you like it because we're going to be with you for at least another 3 years here on 95.7 The Game. Someone said, Damon, why did you just get Happy New Year? Well, it's because baseball's back. And you say Happy New Year around this time of year if you're a baseball fan to another baseball fan. Going to be a lot of Happy New Year-ing going on at AT&T Park tomorrow. Giants going to be opening their home schedule. Little interleague play. Not sure how I feel about that. Seattle Mariners coming into town. And like I was mentioning with John Morosi, the amount of Japanese media that came with the Angels to take a look at Ohtani, it was unbelievable. I mean, it was overwhelming. It was like the World Series was happening. Because when the World Series is in town, that's when a couple of hundred extra media members are sitting in the press box. That's what it was like for Ohtani's major league debut as a pitcher. The Babe Ruth of Japan didn't exactly disappoint. He lit up the radar gun. He hit 98, 99. He hit 100, 91 on his splitter. That looked pretty good. He had one mistake pitch. He hung his slider to Chapman. But other than that, he looked legit. He retired 14 of the last 15 hitters that he faced, and you can see why all of Major League Baseball was interested in this guy. What he hasn't done to impress you at the plate, he made up for in his pitching debut. So the Angels got to feel pretty good about that. Certainly feeling a lot better from when the day we saw in spring training that he had, like, what is that, ulnar lateral collateral ligament, blah. Like that, it looked like Ohtani was damaged goods on arrival. And he played a lot better than that. If you're a Giant fan, I just want to ask you straight up, encouraging or discouraging opening series? Where do you stand on that? Depends on how you spin it. You can say it was really good to split that series, or you can say, hey, they only scored two runs. It's a miracle they split that series. If it's a miracle they split that series, how are they able to do that with some pretty good pitching along the way? Certainly some surprises out of the bullpen. Good to see Cueto look so good. Good to see Ty Block have a little ownage on the Dodgers. He's going to need plenty of that if he's going to be playing the role of Madison Bumgarner, especially early on in the month. Got an awful, awful lot of baseball coming up. Tonight here on 95.7 The Game, the A's continue their homestand against the Rangers. That's coming up tonight. They're both off to a 1-3 start this year. Texas could only muster up 11 runs in a four-game series with Houston.
Bartolo Colon.
Bartolo will be starting tonight. He is on the bump. Colon, a 2013 All-Star with the A's. He went 18-6. Let's just say testing him was probably a very good idea. He did not do well once that test was issued. I still love that fat ass. I really do, though. There's a part of me that will always sort of root for Bartolo Colon. The way you always root for the big guy at the end of the bar.
Totally. He's 44.
That is nuts.
Yeah, it is.
44 years old. You're not going to see a lot of 44-year-old major leaguers. As a matter of fact, the average age of major leaguers, now that we have all of our official opening day rosters, the average age of a major leaguer has dropped to 28.91 years. Last season, it was 29.13 years. The average age of a major leaguer, 28.91 years. No surprises there. This entire offseason was defined by turning the page from older players to younger players. This entire offseason, all we talked about was, wow, they're not going to give that guy one last bite at the apple. They're going to say thanks for the memories and turn the page. All right. The Phillies, by the way, are the youngest team in baseball, averaging 26.92 years per player. Other than that, the young teams, Cincinnati, Miami, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, the New York Yankees, believe it or not, just 28 years old, 0.4. 28.04 years for all of that power. Toronto is the oldest team. Other teams averaging over 30 years old. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, of Los Angeles of California. The Seattle Mariners, the San Francisco Giants, and the Cleveland Indians. So, baseball's getting younger all around us.
Youth versus experience.
Damon, did I just hear Bartolo Colon? Is that Bartolo Colon's music? Yes, it is. That's Bartolo Colon's music. Bartolo is in town. Hide the woman and the children. You know Bartolo's going to be here looking to score.
Don't score.
Hey, you want to give away another bobblehead? Do we have another Dancing Donskoy to give away? Because the Sharks were cool enough to send us a whole bunch of Dancing Donskoys, but I think that we're going to be taking plenty of home ourselves. We have a Joe Thornton to give away, but we will help promote the Dancing Donskoy.
Hey, Sharks fans, learn to dance like me. Get a Donskoy bobblehead ticket back when we face the Avalanche on April 5th and take home a Dancing Donskoy.
Elaine, I need a little production value on that. It's pretty good. He's a good pitch man, but I think a little music would make this promo go even better. There it is.
There you go.
I like it.
Hey, Sharks fans, learn to dance like me. Get a Donskoy bobblehead ticket back when we face the Avalanche on April 5th and take home a Dancing Donskoy.
I take home a Dancing Donskoy.
I love that.
Love it. Sharks don't have a lot of left in their season. The Warriors have but 5 games remaining in their regular season. There's going to be playoffs on both sides of the bay. It's going to be a good time. 5 games to go. The West is still bunched up. Oh, by the way, I talked about a possible bobblehead. Yeah, let's give away that Joe Thornton shirtless bobblehead.
We don't
have another Dancing Donskoy, but how would you like a shirtless Jumbo Joe? Caller number 3 right now, Albie. 888-957-9570. You're going to get a shirtless Joe Thornton bobblehead.
Just giving things away left and right here.
Well, you know, I'm in a good mood.
You are.
Why wouldn't I be? It's a beautiful day outside. I got a new 3-year deal. Gianna, you're not going anywhere. We are locked, loaded, intact. The show is strong. It is powerful.
Roar.
Wow. That's a sound drop. Ready
it's
to
my
go.
My strong sound.
It's Gianna's a one-woman empowerment movement.
I'm a soundboard within myself.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
We all knew that from a long, long time ago.
Raw. That too. Boom, 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 boom.
Too
boom,
bad the Olympics
boom.
Are over.
Bum, yeah, we don't have to revisit this for a very long time.
Ba-dum, bum,
oh, let's not.
Bum, bum,
little pitchy,
bum,
doll.
Ba-dum,
little pitchy.
Bum, 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 you try it.
Bum,
bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, that one hurts.
There's more.
Boom, 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 boom.
I love the timpani. Very dramatic.
You have to build up to it. You have to build up to it.
Dun, dun,
oh, God,
dun,
stop.
Dun, dun, dun,
are you going to torture me for the next 3 years?
That sounds like the Jeopardy theme more than it does the Olympic theme. But look, we've got an awful lot coming up in our 5 o'clock hour. Most of all, an opportunity for another listener who is registered at 957thegame.com. We are going to be qualifying someone for the golden ticket, and we'll let you know that tomorrow, because we're not going to be on, I've got Warriors warm-up starting very early. We're going to get you out to Warriors and Thunder tomorrow afternoon. Because of that, tomorrow the morning show will be qualifying a pair of listeners. Instead of at 8 and at 5, we're not going to have a 5 o'clock hour tomorrow, so the morning show will qualify 2 golden ticket finalists, the first at 8 a.m., the second at 9 a.m. tomorrow. We're about to do it in 4 minutes from right now, qualifying another finalist at 5 p.m. Like I said, 5 games to go, and the West is still bunched up in a mess. You look at the Warriors and where they are right now. Nothing is really going to happen. 5 games remaining, 4 on the road. They're at Oklahoma City tomorrow. Then they travel to Indianapolis. They'll be home against the Pelicans. They wrap up the year at Phoenix, at Utah. The Rockets, Warriors, Blazers, they're locked into the 1-2-3 seeds in the West. Nothing there is going to change, but after you get to the 4 seed, it goes bonkers. To the point where, I don't know who the Warrior video coordinator is or who the advanced scout is, but they're going to have to scout no fewer than 4 teams as a possible first-round playoff opponent, because right now the 4 seed through the 8 seed are separated by no more than 2 games. If you wanted to count who's sitting in a 10 seed right now, not that there is a 9 seed or a 10 seed, you're the first 2 left out looking in. 4 games. 4 games. The 10 seed is only 2 games out of the 8 seed. The Clippers could still be the 8 seed. They could still be a 7 seed if they went on a little bit of a tear here. The Nuggets are fighting for their playoff lives. New Orleans, Minnesota, Utah, Oklahoma City. All those teams that you just heard, all of them could be the 4 seed, the 5 seed, the 6 seed, the 7 seed, the 8 seed, or out of the playoffs, depending on the final week of this regular season.
That's the Wild Wild West.
A lot of scoreboard watching to do tonight. Spurs and Clippers tonight. That's a big game for the Clippers. Raptors are playing in Cleveland. Again, we've been waiting for 3 years for the Toronto Raptors to win a game in Cleveland. Show us that you can win in Cleveland. I frickin' dare you. They haven't done it in a really long time. Maybe they'll do it tonight. Probably not. The Wizards are visiting the Rockets tonight. Always worth keeping an eye on the Rockets because they are playing unbelievably good basketball. There's no reason to pretend they're not. As a matter of fact, get on the same page as the rest of us. The Warriors have not been, nor will they be, the hottest team in the NBA going into this playoffs, but that isn't supposed to matter. They're going to be the team to beat if they are healthy. They are getting healthier. Durant is back in the mix. Klay Thompson is back in the mix. There is a man who is not going to be leaving the mix anytime soon in Quinn Cook. He has blended in fantastic. There is a lot of kismet between Quinn Cook and Kevin Durant. Steve Kerr notices it.
They've got a great connection, and Quinn is a really good player to play off of Kevin because of the way he shoots the ball and his decision making. And as you said, they're close friends, so they enjoy the playing time together, and I think it shows.
Quinn says it's pretty easy playing next to that guy.
I mean, it's great. You know, he has a great mind for the game. So, you know, he sees things, you know, two plays ahead. And then he sees how, you know, coverage is. He sees how the other team's defending them, defending myself, everybody, how to defend the ball screens. And he always makes the right basketball play. And, you know, he makes the game so much easier for everybody because he can go out there and score 50 every night. But he's all about getting guys rhythm, you know, get guys going, because I know he knows that's going to make his job a lot easier. So, you know, he always makes the right play, and that's why, you know, he's one of the greatest.
Warriors starting to get rolling a little bit, and that's good. They had an impressive win over Phoenix, and we're going to talk about that as our 5 o'clock hour begins right now.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.